just yesterday we were reporting on that the deep state was taking on Trump and Trump was taking on the deep state. We were telling you about this internal tremors, or these internal tremors, the warfare that's going on. I titled it that way, if you haven't noticed, on YouTube, because I cannot put the word war or conflict or anything relating to that on YouTube. Otherwise, YouTube just kind of censors it. So that's why I put like shaking or tremors or something other, you know, like that. I don't mean to do it that way, and I don't really want to, but I kind of have to. And so that's where we're at with that. But anyways, I want to continue on that because a lot's coming out today and yesterday, still from yesterday, about what's going on with the deep state, or in other words, the fifth column, or in other words, the intelligence agencies. Trump is going to review, or an ally of Trump is going to review these deep state agencies, or these intelligence agencies. And this, of course, is only going to further provoke and bring about the war that we are seeing right now. You thought what's been taking place was recently was really bad? We haven't seen anything yet. A lot more misinformation, a lot more disinformation is going to come out. A lot of propaganda, of course, they're roughly the same thing, but flat out disinformation. And of course, propaganda is where they can switch in, or bias. Let's call it bias. A lot more bias is going to come out where it's going to twist the actual truth. It's going to be half truth and things like that. And a lot more of that stuff's going to take place. And of course, we keep seeing the tweets from Trump that are attacking the New York Times and CNN and so on and so forth. And you know what? The fake stream media is in all-out warfare against the current regime in the White House. But I will tell you one thing. We also have an article that we're going to go over here in a minute that's also against Trump. That brings about some serious questions. President Trump is planning to ask a member of his Economic Advisory Council to lead a review of the U.S. intelligence community, the New York Times reported on Wednesday. According to the newspaper, Steven Feinberg, a co-founder of Cerebras Capital Management, has informed his company's shareholders that he is currently considering a move to join the Trump administration. Feinberg also maintains strong ties to top Trump officials, including chief strategist Stephen Bannon and senior advisor Jared Kushner, who is also President Trump's son-in-law. A lot of the left is calling Stephen Bannon the shadow president. Just why I wanted to note that real quick. I don't know why. I just felt like I needed to note that. But anyways, both officials declined to comment to the New York Times report. The top intelligence officials told the Times they fear that the businessman is being prepped for a position within the intelligence community, according to the newspaper, or according to the paper. Feinberg's only national security experience stems from his company's involvement with a private security company and two gun manufacturers. The possible review of intelligence agencies comes in the wake of Trump's renewed feud with the intelligence community over leaks that led to the ousting of National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. From intelligence papers are being leaked, things are being leaked, it's criminal action, it's a criminal act, and it's been going on for a long time before me. But now it's really going on, Trump said Wednesday. The real scandal here is that classified information is illegally given out by intelligence like candy. Very un-American, the president also tweeted. House Oversight Committee Chairman Rep. Jason Chaffetz and the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, Bob Goodlatte, on Wednesday formally asked the Justice Department's Inspector General, to further investigate the leaks. Of course, a lot of leaking is going on. It's opposition. That's what Trump was going to call it. WikiLeaks releases documents on alleged CIA spying on French presidential candidates. Anti-secrecy organization WikiLeaks released a set of documents allegedly showing CIA espionage on candidates in France's 2012 presidential elections. The seven pages of documents appear to be classified orders for intelligence operatives to gather information regarding candidates' political strategies and internal communications. WikiLeaks release of the documents comes amid growing tensions between Trump and the intelligence community over the leaks of classified information that have portrayed people close to Trump in a negative light. And of course, you can see the documents right here. I will leave this link at christiantruther.com/news. Make sure you check that out. All major French political parties were targeted for infiltration by the CIA's human, HUMINT, an electronic SIGINT spies in 7 months leading up to France's 2012 presidential election, a press release from WikiLeaks states. Now, of course, France also just came out and they were saying Russia stay out of our elections. But it looks like Russia's not the only problem who's been meddling in elections. Looks like the CIA's had a fair amount of meddling in external elections or in foreign elections. It's almost like the supposed journalists have forgotten how dirty the CIA is. Oh no, they're all in cahoots with them. They're all working with each other now. You see, you have Jeff Bezos, or Bezos, as from the owner of Amazon, who owns the Washington Post, but somehow is able to have a $600 million contract with the CIA at the same time. You'd think that would be a conflict of interest. Nope. Uh-uh. Putin says Russian and U.S. intelligence agencies should restore ties. Russian President Vladimir Putin said on Thursday it was in the interest of both Russia and the U.S. to restore communications between the respective intelligence agencies. It's in everyone's interest to resume dialogue between the intelligence agencies of the United States and other members of NATO, Putin said, addressing Russia's Federal Security Service, FSB. It's absolutely clear that in the area of counterterrorism, all relevant governments and international groups should work together. Now, of course, we'll see how they responded. U.S. Defense Secretary James Mattis rejects military collaboration with Russia about an hour ago. U.S. President Donald Trump's defense secretary says he does not see the conditions for military collaboration with Russia in a blow to Moscow's hopes of repairing ties with the United States following Mr. Trump's election. We are not in a position right now to collaborate on a military level, but our political leaders will engage and try to find common ground, James Mattis told reporters after talks at NATO headquarters in Brussels. General Mattis, Mad Dog Mattis, comments appear to nullify repeated suggestions by Mr. Trump during his election campaign of the possibility of joint action against Islamic State militants. His blunt rejection came after Russian President Vladimir Putin called for increased intelligence cooperation with the U.S. and NATO, and it makes such coordination less likely, at least in the near future. General Mattis followed his dismissal with a sharp assessment of Russia's alleged election meddling, saying there was very little doubt that they have either interfered or they have attempted to interfere in a number of elections in the democracies. His comments raised questions about the Trump administration's policies toward Russia. As a candidate, Mr. Trump repeatedly praised Mr. Putin, saying he wanted a new era of cooperation with Moscow. Ties between Mr. Trump's team and Russia came under the spotlight this week with the resignation of National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. Now, of course, we see a lot of sparks flying everywhere, but here is a very interesting one. Top Donald Trump aide defends wearing medal linked to Hungarian Nazi sympathizers. Really? Sebastian Gorka, president's deputy assistant, denies anti-Semitism despite medal being linked to ruler who said, "For all my life, I have been an anti-Semite." Excuse me. Donald Trump's deputy assistant has angrily denied being anti-Semitic after he was spotted wearing a military medal associated with Hungarian Nazi sympathizers. Sebastian Gorka, who is of Hungarian descent but was born and raised in the UK, was pictured wearing the controversial badge at an inaugural ball for Mr. Trump and several other events. According to the Loeb Log blog, the medal was given to Mr. Gorka's father by the group Vetsi Rend, meaning Order of Heroes, that consisted of supporters of Miklos Horthy, the former ruler of Hungary, who collaborated with the Nazis during World War II. The U.S. State Department lists the group as being directed by Nazi Germany. Horthy, who served as regent of the Kingdom of Hungary between 1920 and 1944, was a self-declared hater of Jews. In 1940, he wrote, "Concerning the Jewish problem, for all my life I've been anti-Semite. I have never had contact with Jews. I have considered it intolerable that here in Hungary, everything, every factory, bank, large fortune, business, theater, press, commerce, etc., should be in Jewish hands, and that the Jew should be the image reflected of Hungary, especially abroad. To replace the Jews, who have everything in their hands, requires a generation at least." Despite the controversial history of the medal, Mr. Gorka said he wrote it in memory of his family and the suffering they endured. He said his father has been tortured and imprisoned by Hungarian communists in the late 1940s after he founded underground organizations of pro-democracy, anti-communists, to work about the Soviet dictatorship. Now, here's the real question. This is the article I was mentioning earlier, that this is the supposed attack on Donald Trump. Anti-communists. Now, of course, we'd have to really dig in and uncover what exactly was going on at this era, and of course, who Sebastian Gorka is, and how much, really, his history is tied to Nazi Germany, or to the Nazis. But we also know that anything to do with being anti-communists, who is ever, let me rephrase that. Any organization or person who is connected to Trump that is anti-communism is under fire right now, and they're being called anti-Semitic. So obviously this needs to be looked into more. In a video released by far-right website Breitbart News, he said, in 1979, my father was awarded a decoration for his resistance to dictatorship, and although he passed away 14 years ago, I wear that medal in remembrance of what my family went through and what it represents today to me as an American. The medal reminds me of what they suffered under the Nazis and under the communists, he said. I am a proud American now, and I wear that medal now and again. Why? To remind myself where I come from, or came from, what my parents suffered under both the Nazis and communists, and to help me in my work today, because as far as I'm concerned, groups like the Islamic State, like Al-Qaeda, they're just another kind of totalitarian. They're not communists. They're not Nazis, but they will enslave or kill you if you disagree with them. That's my story. Mr. Gorka reportedly has his own allegiance to Vietze Rend. He has been known to sign his name, including on his PhD dissertation, as Sebastian L.V. Gorka. Experts have said that the initials L.V. are used by those granted membership of the order, and when they die, by their oldest son. Before joining Mr. Trump's team, Mr. Gorka worked as a professor at the Institute of World Politics in Washington and is a national security editor of Breitbart. He was arrested in January 2016 after trying to board a plane with a 9mm pistol, charged with a weapons offense, and is set to appear before a judge later this month. Obviously, there's a lot going on, and we know that Steve Bannon was under fire for supposedly being anti-Semitic. It seems like they want to call Breitbart anti-Semitic. And of course, there's a solid reason for why they're doing that. They're trying to make the conservative identity look fascist or look like the Nazis. Because then you have the other side thinking that they're doing the right thing, attacking the fascists, when they're being led by fascists and communists and people who really will totally, totally take over and give up all of our freedoms. That's bad. There are two evils at play here. Take note. Ukraine declares state of energy emergency. This was posted yesterday on February 15th. Kiev. Ukraine on Wednesday announced a state of emergency for its energy sector that could result in rolling blackouts as officials try to sharply curtail electricity use by consumers. The decision was made at a cabinet meeting to work out a response to a two-week strike by ultra-nationalists who have blocked a railroad between the coal-producing eastern regions and the rest of Ukraine. Kiev has continued to buy a specific type of coal produced only in the Russian-backed separatist east that is needed to fuel the country's power plants. The exchange of goods has gone on even as a 34-month conflict has claimed more than 10,000 lives and an unsettled Eastern European states that were under the Kremlin's thumb in the Cold War era and are wary of an increasingly assertive Russia. Energy Minister Igor Nasalyuk said the most immediate measure involved a call to all people to try to save power in their industries and homes, but he also warned that energy conservation efforts may not be enough. He said that we will implement rolling blackouts to balance out the work of Ukraine's energy system if the power savings are not sufficient. Now, of course, we've seen something like this happen almost every year with these rolling blackouts or Ukraine's gone dark again. There's still an active conflict going on in Ukraine. Don't wipe it off. It's still going on there. Now this, folks, is again, they're going to bring back the Nephilim. They're going to bring back the Nephilim. the Illuminati is actively working, not planning, working on bringing back the Nephilim. And they're going to do it in the public. And it's going to be accepted and praised. And we're going to see some very crazy, crazy things. Total sci-fi science is running amok throughout our world. Woolly mammoth will be back from extinction within 2 years, says Harvard scientists. I have a little idea. How about this? What I want you to do is go to someone you know not who is not awake. Go tell them that they're going to see woolly mammoths in as little as 2 years. Just see their response. See what they say about scientists bringing back the woolly mammoth from the dead. See if that can help wake people up. Because the whole point is to wake people up. Scientists are going to bring back the dead, the extinct. Let that sink in. Let the ramifications of what that actually means become apparent. Woolly mammoths could be brought back from extinction within 2 years, the scientists behind a groundbreaking resurrection project have said. World-renowned geneticist Professor George Church and his team at Harvard University have been working for the past 2 years on recreating the DNA blueprint of the mammoth. They have used DNA from mammoths that were preserved in Arctic permafrost to look for the genes that separated them from elephants, such as those with code for a shaggy coat, big ears, and antifreeze blood. By splicing the mammoth genes into the genome of an elephant embryo, the team believe they can recreate a mammoth-elephant hybrid, which would have all the recognizable features of a mammoth. Splicing? Lab tests have already shown that cells function normally with mammoth and elephant DNA, and the scientists now have ambitious plans to grow a mammoth embryo within an artificial womb rather than recruit a female elephant as a surrogate mother. Since starting the project in 2015, the researchers have increased the number of edits where mammoth DNA has been spliced into the elephant genome from 15 to 45. Professor George Church, who heads the Harvard Woolly Mammoth Revival Team, said, "We're working on ways to evaluate the impact of all these edits and basically trying to establish embryogenesis in the lab." Folks, they're going to create something that we cannot come back from. They're going to create something that they totally regret. And of course, it will be shown to the world as this wonderful miracle. Science has saved us all. We can now bring people back. Or bring the DNA of that person back. The list of edits affects things that contribute to the success of elephants in cold environments. We already know about ones to do with small ears, subcutaneous fat, hair and blood, but there are others that seem to be positively selected. They're going to bring back the creatures, the Nephilim, the giants. That's the end goal. The CDC finds the first genetic link between Legionnaires' disease, or the Legionnaires' outbreak, and Flint water. The Flint water crisis was one of the worst crises in Michigan. So many people were affected by it. And now again, Flint water is on the scene. This time, there's a genetic link between the Legionnaires' outbreak and Flint water. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has discovered the first genetic links between city water and patients diagnosed with Legionnaires' disease in Genesee County, something researchers have sought throughout the Flint water crisis. But instead of closing the book on what caused the outbreak that killed 12 people in 2014 and 2015, the scientific matches instead raise new questions about whether Flint's water system was the source of the outbreak. Molecular testing by the CDC in late 2016 established the connection between a water sample taken from McLaren Flint Hospital and three sputum samples from patients who were diagnosed with Legionnaires. Officials with the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services told MLive, the Flint Journal. DHHS learned of a genetic match between the water and Legionnaires' patients only last month, and days later notified McLaren and the Genesee County Health Department that each may be required to turn over additional water samples and other records to the state. But while the state has focused on McLaren since the genetic links were found, other experts say three matches, including one victim who was never a patient at McLaren, suggest that Legionella thrived throughout the Flint water system, making it the real culprit in Legionnaires' deaths and illnesses in 2014 and 2015. 78 people in the county contracted the disease during those 2 years, during parts of which the city used Flint River as its source of water without treating it to make it less corrosive to lead pipes and plumbing. The presence of Legionella in Flint was widespread, said Dr. Janet Stout, a research associate professor at the University of Pittsburgh and a national expert on the disease. The laboratory results show that strains of the bacteria were throughout the water system. Man. An even bigger crisis. Nuke experts. Fukushima plant must be entombed like Chernobyl. Reactors will remain a threat to world for the rest of time. Humanity impossible to clean up due to shockingly high radiation levels. You don't think that might warm the water, do you? Enviro News World News, February 6, 2017, emphasis added, the astronomical readings bring major concerns to a cleanup operation already spiraling out of control, flying blindly into territory previously uncharted in the history of nuclear power. But off, 530 sieverts per hour might not be the worst cleanup workers have to worry about. TEPCO also stated that surface-level radiation readings from parts inside the plant's pressure vessels can reach several thousand sieverts per hour, compounding what are already seemingly unsurmountable tasks in the decommissioning process. Esteemed nuclear expert, engineer, and former reactor operator Arnie Gunderson told Enviro News World News in an email that the position of Fair Winds, his educational nonprofit, is that radiation levels are presently way too high to remove the melted fuel, and that the reactors should be entombed, like was done in shit with Chernobyl. Sarcophagus. For at least a century, before attempting dismantlement. These readings do make dismantling the facility almost impossible for 100 years or more, as the exposure to workers would be too significant, Gunderson said. Snopes, February 7, 2017, in a statement they sent to us, TEPCO said the level of radiation discovered was higher than expected. Extra precautions have been taken to prevent leaks of radiation during the investigation. What that means, engineer and San Diego State business professor Dr. Murray Janix told us, is that cleanup just became much more difficult than expected. The structures are holding, but inside where the fuel melted, it went all over the place. Janix, an expert on nuclear containment, surmised that TEPCO would ultimately be forced to build a concrete sarcophagus around the unit, like the one that encapsulates reactor number 4 at Chernobyl. He added that they may have to let nature take its course for a while. Sputnik, February 11, 2017, the level of radiation at Fukushima Unit 2 is beyond extreme. Even in comparison to the inside of the Chernobyl reactor, where radiation levels are only at 34. Whew, sieverts an hour. That seems like nothing compared to what's going on with TEPCO, or in Fukushima, excuse me. That seems like nothing compared to thousands of sieverts. Dr. Helen Caldicott, February 13, 2017, it will be almost impossible to decommission units 1 and 2 and 3, as no human could ever be exposed to such extreme radiation, and that this fact means that Fukushima Daiichi will remain a diabolical blot upon Japan and the world for the rest of time, sitting as it does on active earthquake zones. Bottom line, these reactors will never be cleaned up nor decommissioned because such a task is humanly impossible. The Guardian on February, we can keep going, folks. We can keep going. How bad is Fukushima? TEPCO has yet to identify the location and condition of melted fuel in the three most seriously damaged reactors. Removing it safely represents a challenge unprecedented in the history of nuclear power. What in the world is going to come of Fukushima. GOP senator wants to let your internet service provider sell your info to advertisers. As if it wasn't already bad enough. As though the internet wasn't bad enough already. I didn't even mean to say that twice. I apologize. Republican Senator Jeff Flake of Arizona told Politico this week that he intends to undo a recent FCC rule restricting that what ISPs could do with customer data. The rules, which were adopted in late October of last year, shortly before the election, require ISPs to specifically ask customers for permission to share sensitive information with third parties, including precise geolocation data, financial and health information, and browsing history. It also includes message content if those messages are readily accessible by the ISP. i.e. any unencrypted message. The FCC's rules also required opt-out mechanisms for sharing non-sensitive information. ISPs opposed the new rules, which went into effect at the start of this year, because they block an avenue through which they can monetize user data. Of course, this is terrible news. Again, they're still going after our own personal data. Did you know that your email account, doesn't matter what's in it, it does matter what's in it, is worth about $10 to Google. So say you have a Gmail account, and I don't know if you know this, but Gmail all the time is scanning every email that comes in, every single text, all the content of that email, not for viruses, not for government, but to sell that information to advertisers. Google can sell an email address or an email account for roughly about just under $10. Think about that for a minute, folks. How many email accounts, how many people use Gmail? Let's put it that way. How much is that information actually worth? So how much, then, would your entire internet history, data, geolocation, financial and health information be worth? You see, this is what part of our goal is, to get rid of ads on our website. Totally get rid of them. We can't do it because I have to pay the bills. I have to. Money does not come out of air. So that's why we created, that's one of the reasons why we created our exclusive section. So if you want to help us get to the goal of removing ads, then please subscribe. Become a member. Go to christiantruther.com/info for more information. We have to pay the bills. Hopefully, let me tell you this one. If you guys aren't familiar with the browser Brave, you ought to go check it out. Brave is really cool. Brave will allow you to block all ads and tracking information and data and so on and so forth. But you can choose, it's not required, you can choose to pay to help the journalist. It's a really cool idea. I've heard of Brave a long time ago. I use it occasionally. But anyways, that's an avenue you guys can easily do. So just keep that in mind. Anyways, let's move on. Shock alert. Hole found in Earth's magnetic field, humanity at risk of cosmic radiation. So we have Fukushima, the crisis that is always spiraling out of control. They have no idea what to do about it. We also have a massive hole in our magnetic field. And we wonder why they're seeing all this ice melting. A huge hole has been detected in the Earth's magnetic shield, leaving millions of human beings vulnerable to deadly cosmic radiation, scientists have warned. From analyzing data from the GRAPES 3 Muon telescope in India, experts have concluded that the magnetosphere has come under such heavy bombardment in recent years that it's weakening. On June 22, 2015, there was a massive burst of galactic cosmic rays, which traumatized Earth's magnetic shield, for 2 hours. Roughly 40 hours before the Earth was bombarded by cosmic rays, the sun ejected a giant cloud of plasma, which caused high-energy radiation to strike the Earth's magnetosphere at 2.5 million kilometers per hour. The storm wreaked havoc on technology, with radio signal blackouts reported in North and South America. It's not until now that scientists have been able to understand the full extent of the damage caused by this storm. Experts from the Tata Institute of Fundamental Research in India ran several simulations based on the data from the telescope and found that the magnetosphere had been cracked for a little while on the day. Worryingly, The bombardment was so intense, the magnetosphere was forced to shrink from 11 to 4 times the Earth's radius. While small amounts of radiation, prolonged exposure to higher amounts of radiation can lead to cancer. Fukushima plus this. Is that why we're seeing the climate changing? Just a thought. Of course, we also have geoengineering and other things going on. Elon Musk. Humans must merge with machines or become irrelevant. I will gladly become irrelevant. Thank you, Muskie. I will gladly become irrelevant before I merge with a frickin' machine. I don't know about you, but that's how I feel. Billionaire Elon Musk is known for his futuristic ideas and his latest suggestion that might just save us from being irrelevant as artificial intelligence grows more prominent. The Tesla and SpaceX CEO said on Monday that humans need to merge with machines to become a sort of cyborg. Not I. Over time, I think intelligence and digital intelligence, Musk told an audience at the World Government Summit in Dubai, where he also launched Tesla in the United Arab Emirates. It's mostly about the bandwidth, the speed of the connection between your brain and the digital version of yourself, particularly output. Musk explained what he meant by saying that computers can communicate at a trillion bits per second, while humans, whose main communication method is typing with their fingers via a mobile device, can do about 10 bits per second. Well, you know what? I'm going to type 10 bits per second all the way until I die. In an age when AI threatens to become widespread, humans would be useless, so there's a need to merge with machines, according to Musk. I would gladly become useless in this technological age, the fourth industrial revolution, where humanity, instead of building a better tool, becomes the tool. I will gladly become useless. You can leave me out and away. I will gladly become a useless tool. Instead of, becoming this little cyborg thing. They want us to merge with machines. It's not going to help humanity at all. It's going to be about control. And we better wake up to that reality. We better wake up. You see, they bombarded all of us with this technology so fast that they hope they can slip all this stuff through the cracks. And one day we'll look back and say, what in the world happened? Oh. I get it now. Yale University study shows association between vaccines and brain disorders. This is a bombshell. Yale University. Hold on, this is Yale. Now hang on, this is Yale, folks. Yale University study shows association between vaccines and brain disorders. A team of researchers from the Yale School of Medicine and Penn State College of Medicine have found a disturbing association between the timing of vaccines and the onset of certain brain disorders in a subset of children. Analyzing 5 years' worth of private health insurance data on children ages 6 to 15, these scientists found that young people vaccinated in the previous 3 to 12 months were significantly more likely to be diagnosed with certain neuropsychiatric disorders. Excuse me, I don't know why I messed up on that word. Neuropsychiatric disorders than their non-vaccinated counterparts. This new study, which raises important questions about whether over-vaccination may be triggering immune and neurological damage in a subset of vulnerable children, something parents of children with autism have been saying for years, was published in the peer-reviewed journal Frontiers in Psychiatry, January 19th. CDC knew its vaccine program was exposing children to dangerous mercury levels since 1999, and it's criminal. It is criminal. More than 95,000 children in the database that were analyzed had one of seven neuropsychiatric disorders: anorexia nervosa, anxiety disorder, attention deficit and hyperactivity disorder, or ADHD, bipolar disorder, major depression, obsessive compulsive disorder, and tic disorder. How many people do you know that have one of these? That are under the age of 25. I think we found why. Children with these disorders were compared to children without neuropsychiatric disorders, as well as to children with two other conditions that could not possibly be related to vaccination: open wounds and broken bones. Now, of course, not everyone has one of these, but a lot of the populace does. we have to ask ourselves why. And of course, number one is the addiction to technology. Number two is the vaccines. We're over-vaccinated, and we are totally saturated with technology. It's everywhere, and it has to stop. It has to stop. This was a well-designed, tightly controlled study. Control subjects without brain disorders were matched with the subjects by age, geographic location, and gender. As expected, broken bones and open wounds showed no significant association with vaccinations. New cases of major depression, bipolar disorder, or ADHD also showed no significant association with vaccines. However, children who had been vaccinated were 80% more likely to be diagnosed with anorexia and 25% more likely to be diagnosed with OCD than their non-vaccinated counterparts. Vaccinated children were also more likely to be diagnosed with an anxiety disorder with tics compared to the controls. In a carefully worded conclusion, the researchers caution making too much of these results while also urging further investigation. This pilot epidemiologic analysis implies that the onset of some neuropsychiatric disorders may be temporarily related to prior vaccinations in a subset of individuals, they write. These findings warrant further investigation but do not prove a causal role of antecedent infections or vaccinations, pathoetiology of these conditions, or in the pathoetiology of these conditions. We all know that correlation in this case, vaccine administration, in the previous 12 months, a new diagnosis of brain disorders does not necessarily mean causation. But if certain vaccines or a combination of vaccines are actually triggering brain disorders, it is imperative that we figure out which vaccines or combination of vaccines are the culprits and what risk factors may make some children more susceptible than others. Think about the ramifications of this study. Finally, it's coming out that vaccines are somehow, I want to say it's coming out that vaccines cause certain diseases, but I'm not going to because we're going to use their words. So vaccines are somehow related to brain disorders, as proved by this Yale study, but even though they're too scared to say it, because we know how big pharma is. The globalists strike back with a major push toward a cashless society. This is today's major report. The globalists strike back with a major push toward a cashless society. We all know what the cashless society means. Their agenda may be on the rocks in the U.S. at the moment, but that doesn't mean that the globalists are giving up. In fact, a major push toward a cashless society is being made in the European Union right now. Last May, we learned that the 500 euro note is being completely eliminated. And just a few weeks ago, the European Commission released a new action plan which instructs member states to explore potential upper limits to cash payments. In the name of fighting terrorism, this action plan discusses the benefits of prohibitions for cash payments above a specific threshold. And it says that those prohibitions should include virtual currencies such as Bitcoin and prepaid instruments such as prepaid credit cards when they are used anonymously. This new document does not mention what an appropriate threshold would be for member states, but we know that Spain already bans certain cash transactions above 2,500 euros, and Italy and France already ban cash transactions above 1,000 euros. This is a perfect way to transition to a cashless society without creating too much of an uproar. By setting a maximum legal level for cash transactions and slowly lowering it. In effect, you can slowly but surely phase out cash without people understanding what is happening. And there are many places in Europe where it is very difficult to even use cash at this point. In Sweden, many banks no longer take or give cash out. At approximately 95% of all retail transactions are entirely cashless. So even though Sweden has not officially banned cash, using cash is no longer practical in most situations. In fact, many tourists are shocked to find out that they cannot even pay bus fare with cash. So most of Europe is already moving in this direction. And now this new action plan is intended to accelerate the transition toward a cashless society. The public is being told that these measures are being taken to fight money laundering and terrorism. But of course, that is only a small part of the truth. a half-truth, if you would. The following comes from the anti-media. The European Action Plan does not mention a specific dollar amount for restrictions, but as expected, their reasoning for the move is to thwart money laundering and the financing of terrorism. Border checks between countries have already been bolstered to help implement these new standards on hard assets. Although these end goals are plausible, there are other clear motivations for governments to target paper money that aren't as noble. In a truly cashless society, governments would be able to track where everybody is and what everybody is doing all of the time. Think about the ramifications of that. And in order to have access to the cashless system, people would have to comply with whatever requirements governments wanted to impose on their helpless populations. The potential for tyranny that this would create would be off of the charts. But very few people seem greatly alarmed by the move toward a cashless system all over the globe. You know why they're not alarmed? Because technology makes it so much easier. It's so cumbersome to have to carry change. You know what this is? Listen to this. It's a freaking change jar. I mean, this thing, listen to that. That's heavy. Change in cash. Of course, it's cumbersome. You can carry a little plastic card that you don't need that massive change jar anymore. But again, I have physical coins. And of course, I mean, they're just freaking pennies and dimes and stuff, but it's change, it's physical. But if you do away with that, if they get rid of the cash and the change and money, everything just becomes a manipulated number online. Instead of calling it money, they could actually just call it credit or credits. So you never actually earn a living, you just earn credits. Do you see where this goes or where it can go? This is dangerous because it also makes it a million times easier for them to take your credits away or your money away. You can't pay your bills if you don't have the money. You can't do anything if you don't have the money anymore. But if you have cash, or if you have gold or silver or something that you can hold, the government can't take that away. Unless, of course, they storm your house and stuff like that, or somebody robs you, or if the FBI covertly robs you, whatever. You get my point. It's a lot harder than just simply pressing delete on someone's account. The globalists are striking back with a major push toward a cashless society. This is not the first push, and it sure as hell will not be the last. To get the latest news, go to christiantruther.com/news. You will not want to miss what we produce in this next exclusive. We're going to tie so many pieces together and expose so much of what's going on and the real war that's been going on for a very, very long time. It's been like just subtly in the background, and many have failed to notice it, or many to expose it. You won't want to miss it. Make sure you check it out. Go to christiantruther.com/info to find out more information. God bless and carry on.